I ask you to help me this morning and agree with me by faith, every head bowed and every eye closed, and let your heart agree with this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for grace deposits and truth impartation. Father, we're praying for utterance and direction. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come together for a corporate anointing. We agree together now, asking for a release of every need that's represented. We're asking for direction and guidance. We're asking for the manifested presence of your Spirit. Father, give us utterance today. Open our eyes, ears, hearts, and minds to receive from you. Show us what to do. We purpose ahead of time to be obedient to your word. Help us to see and understand your true nature so that we can identify with you. We desire to know our true identity and walk in freedom. Father, strengthen us with your might by your Spirit. Give us more insight. Give us more revelation. We welcome an invasion of your Spirit. We come against every hindrance and distraction right now in the name of Jesus, and we boldly declare that the Word of God will go forth, that the power of God will flow freely in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. We're continuing a series entitled Born Identity. You know, Word Life itself, this church was founded to empower people to live the life that's promised in the Word of God. Today we're going to hear from heaven. Today we're going to get instructions. We're going to get directions and instructions of what to do and what not to do, how to get to where God would have us to be. Because there is a place in Him. There's an opportunity for you and I to get in the center of God's will. We're going to talk about how crucial hope is for your vision. That's our subtitle, Your Vision. We're going to talk about how to line our vision up with God's vision for our lives. We're going to talk about how your identity must be found in Jesus in order to receive revelation and live a victorious life. Can we turn me off in the monitors? I remember hearing, it doesn't matter what people call you, it only matters what you answer to. And that is so true. Family, the question is, how do you see you? Does it align with how God sees you? And if it doesn't, it's so very important that we make that shift, that we make that adjustment. We're going to start off in Jeremiah 29:11. Let's go there. It's going to be on the screen. We'll read it all together. It's such a powerful text. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil." Please understand that any evil that comes to you is not from God. Then it goes on to say, to give you a future and a hope. Your vision, my vision, needs hope in order to flourish. Hope is belief that the future will be better than the present. Hope and joy together is a sign of good beliefs. You know, yesterday I had a conversation with my mom, And we laugh so hard when we were bent over laughing, because we're talking about some family dynamics that were just hilarious. It could be in a Madea movie easily, but we were just rolling. And after I got off the phone with my mom, it felt so good. It was just a joyful moment. It really blessed my entire day. In the absence of hope and joy, you and I cannot do the things that God is calling us to do. It makes sense to have peace, love, joy, and hope on the inside of you. Sometimes it's going to take you telling your face that you're happy. Sometimes you're going to have to get out of the situation, the stuff that's going on, and be light to the world. Amen. Your vision is key. You and I need to see that we have the power to make a better future. We have the ability to participate in a better future. We have the ability to make things better than they are right now if they are not lining up to God's will. Come with me to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Where are you guys going? Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. We're talking about vision and our vision. How do we see ourselves? And does it line up? Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23 says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." The he who promised is God Almighty, and he is faithful. He is going to do what he says every single time. He's faithful. Your future is, I've said this before, please write this down into your in your notes. Please write this down somewhere. You can grab a hold of this and keep this truth. Your future is as bright as the promises of God. If you can see it in the Word, you can have it in your life. Any area of your life that does not glisten with hope is an area that has been darkened by deception. If there's an area, if there's something going on in your world that looks like there's no hope, if it looks hopeless, it's just been darkened by deception. And that's not who you are. That's not who God is. That's not your reality. And it's important that we straighten that out. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. Where are you guys going? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. We're going to read that together. It's on the screen. Ready? Read. "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things that are seen or not seen are eternal." You see, we have the opportunity. We can choose to attach our vision to the seen realm, or we can attach our vision to the unseen realm. And the thing is, your born again identity is attached to the things that are not seen. It's going to require you and I. You know what faith is? Faith is belief and trust in the unseen. And we're not going to be able to escape our believing lives without walking by faith. It will always require you and I taking God at his word over and above what we see with our eyes. It will always require that. This is so important. We either are walking according to the vision of the temporary realm or the eternal realm. The eternal realm is God's goodness and God's purpose for your life. Walking by faith is walking in the dimension of the unseen. Knowing who you really are requires the unseen in your life. And family, whatever you do, please hear this. Don't allow the gift of grace to hinder your fight of faith. Whatever you do, please grab a hold of that revelation. Don't allow the gift of grace to hinder your fight of faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 9 is the proof text of that statement. It takes both. Look at somebody and say, "It takes both." Nobody with me. Look at somebody on the other side and say, "It takes both." Y'all gonna help me today. Jesus is a great example. Jesus did it with the five loaves and the two fishes. He attached the reality of his vision to the vision of the disciples. He took a circumstance that looked bad and he flipped it with his vision, with his eternal vision. We have the opportunity to see lack or seed. What Jesus saw could have been lack, but he saw it as a seed. And he said something about it, and that seed produced a harvest that produced over and over to such a degree that every need was met, and then there was leftovers. We have an opportunity, family. We have an opportunity to choose what we see. Is it lack or is it seed? Is it a deficit or is it an opportunity? We have to align our faith with the Word of God. Let's go to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Very, very important. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove your testimony." Family, don't back down from tests. Don't back away from tests, because your testimony is going to prove God's goodness. That's what this is talking about. It says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Renewing our minds is understanding that the highest level of spiritual warfare is thinking higher than the attack. Attaching our beliefs to the one who is over and above, the one who will never leave us, the one who will never forsake us. That's spiritual warfare. That's the highest level of spiritual warfare. That's going to get dad when things get too tough. That's calling on him when we're at the end of who we are. That's spiritual warfare. There's no struggle. I like the quote from Loki in one of the, I forget which one it was, but Loki said, "There's no quarrel between a boot and an ant." There is no competition, family. You are not at, did I say it right, Wendy? Okay. There's no competition between you and the devil. There is no competition between you and the enemy, because the greater one lives on the inside of you. You are greater. You are more. There is no deficit. There is no way fear can remain in you when the greater one dwells on the inside of you. There is no way that you are at a loss. There is no way that the enemy who is defeated can steal your peace. You have to participate in a lie to give the enemy any kind of way into your life. Family, understand who you are. You're the great one. You are above only and not beneath. It's you. You are the head and not the tail. And you will never be, because who's in you? But the one who's in you, he promised you that he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Understanding who we are allows us to walk in our true identity. When we identify with him, we walk upright and we go in and we take over no matter what's going on. The situation has to bow down to the one that dwells on the inside of you. Every issue, every circumstance has to bow down to the one who dwells on the inside of you. The only power a lie has is the power that you give it if you believe it. He has nothing in you The purpose Jesus came was to destroy the works of the devil. And the moment you and I said yes to Jesus, we took on that purpose. You have oxygen in your lungs because you are supposed to destroy the works of the devil. Everywhere you go, take territory. Look at somebody and say, take territory. What you believe transforms your future. Your future and hope is locked up in your thinking. What you think about it matters, family. This subject is so crucial because everyone has some sort of vision. You and I believe something for some reason. There's a way we attach to something. It's been formed. Whether you know it or not, your vision has been formed by something or someone. Your self-image, your self-worth, where did it come from? It came from somewhere, and we have to know that. The way you think about your family, the way you think about marriage, the way you think about your career, your ministry, the way you think about your economic future came from somewhere. What I'm encouraging you to do is allow your thinking to line up to your maker, to the purpose that he created you. The best way you and I can find out why we were made is go to our maker. True or not true? People will always try to put some kind of identity on you. People will always try to attach you to what they think about you. But what is he saying? Our identity, our true identity is in him. We see all type of things some way. And what we're going to do today is make sure the way we're seeing the outcome, the way our filter has to be him. Your vision and your identity is under attack, whether you know it or not. There is so much competing in this fallen world for your identity, for your attention. There's, you know, and I mean, it doesn't matter the news, your flesh, Hollywood. It doesn't matter if it's politics, if it's entertainment. It doesn't matter. There's something. Medicine is competing for your vision. Y'all seen the commercials? You know, they talk about your skin will glow. You will walk in the room and you will be floating. Everyone will notice you. And then all of a sudden the voice changes and starts talking real fast and starts saying stuff like, you know, there's been cases of heart attack, stroke, dizziness, and sometimes fatal death. And then the commercial goes off. That is competing for your vision. It's trying to get you to focus in on that and attach yourself to it. So very important. And I'm thinking my skin is okay. You know, I gotta go through all that. I'm gonna leave it alone. What if I don't glow? Am I gonna be all right? Critical. That's not God's vision. Here's the thing, family. God has a vision for you, and the enemy has a vision for you. John 10:10 points that out very plainly. Let's go to John chapter 10 and verse 10. He points it out so beautifully. It's plain. And then get, you know, this is so plain, it takes a theologian to complicate it. This is simple. There's two different ways. It says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And then there's a period right there. That's the only reason the enemy comes. The thief, the devil comes. That's the only reason he comes. And then the flip side of it goes on to say, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. The enemy has a vision, and it includes death, destructions, and to steal from you. And God has a vision for you. And that vision is full of abundant life. That is his plan. Which vision, real question, which vision are you cooperating with? We have to choose it, family. God's vision is your health, your marriage, your children, your prosperity, your career, your business, your ministry, overflowing in abundance. Our foundation text for this series is Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you." God's not confused. He knows what the outcome is in our lives. Peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. See, here's the thing, family. God intends to bless you beyond your own comprehension. Ephesians talks about that. He desires to bless you and to do more than you can think or imagine. He desires to go beyond your wildest dreams. That's his desire. He desires to fulfill all of his promises in your life. The proof text of that is 2 Corinthians 2:20, which says, "For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us." God desires to utilize his glory through you to fulfill all of his promises. What powerful good news. That is so. His plan for you is victory and freedom. That's what he's up to. You want to know God's agenda? Victory and freedom. He has every intent to destroy the works of the devil in your life and the lives of your loved ones. But if we're blind to this good news, if we don't see it, we'll settle for less. Look at somebody and say, "Don't settle for less. Don't settle for less." Notice, this is a choice. We have to choose not to settle for less. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 14. "Have you seen what God sees in you?" Have you seen what God sees in you? I'm believing that this is the day that you see what God sees in you. That it becomes clear. You see yourself as a giant in the spiritual realm. You see yourself as a victor, not a victim. "Surely blessings I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you." That's how God sees you. God's intentions is to bless you and to multiply you. But family, again, but if we're blind to it, we don't participate in it. You see, there's a time when we have to shift. You know how when someone matures in the things of God, when someone matures, period, they go from one step to the next step. They go from, let's say, from a toddler to, what's after toddlers? Preschool? So let's say, from toddler to preschool, there's different stages, true or not true. Family, for you and I, there comes a point where we go from believing in Jesus to believing like Jesus. There's a progression that needs to take place. When you believe in Jesus, you receive salvation. When you believe like Jesus, you receive freedom in every area of your life. There's a difference. The reason why greater works are not taking place is we need to believe like Jesus. We need to make a switch and stop celebrating Jesus and start doing Jesus. Amen? That's the difference. We have to make the switch. And, you know, Terrell and I, we did that when we went from a Bible study in our home to stepping out and starting Word Life. I wasn't thinking about a church per se. I was content with a Bible study, and it was Andy Harb that came to me and said, "Hey, the church that was written from the Bible college are moving out." And I thought, "Okay, cool. So we'll have our Bible study at the school." And the vision for a church had not dropped in my heart. I thought, "Okay, cool. We'll have a bigger space to have a Bible study." And things just started to progress to where it went from a Bible study to a ministry, a church that could go and grow and impact the lives of anyone that came across our path. It went from a Word Life Family Church, which in my mind, it was just me, my four and no more, or just a small group coming together and huddling and doing the things of God, to no, that's not the vision that God gave me. God gave me a vision to reach beyond the four walls. God gave me a vision to go from a local neighborhood church to a worldwide global ministry. So the reason why we are now Word Life Church, because it's not just the family. We still have the family atmosphere. We still consider each other family, but our vision goes beyond the ma and pa corner store. Amen? So very important. The vision that God has for you has to drop in your spirit. It has to come unlocked inside of you so you can start seeing yourself the way God sees you. You know, Jerry Savelle coming to the church was something that I dreamt of, I said, 20 years ago. We were serving at another church, and I was armor-bearing for Jerry Savelle. We're in the back room, and I said, "Man, if I ever have a church, I'm going to have Jerry Savelle come and speak and minister and be with us." And it was such a powerful time for me personally, because no one knew that. Terrell knew that, but very few people, did y'all know that? Very few people knew that was something that I spoke 20 years ago. So for me, it was a powerful moment, because I saw vision manifest into reality. And that's what I'm believing will happen in each and every one of our lives. The vision that God has for you to manifest in your lives. For you to teach spiritually, Candace. For you to go beyond the natural and begin to minister in the supernatural. That's what God sees. He sees the difference between the temporary realm into the eternal realm. That's so very important. You know, Donnie, you need to see a room full of teenagers. Maribel, you need to see a room full of teenagers that are transformed, that their hands are raised high and they're being ministered to and they're being an influence everywhere they go. Dr. Jean, you need to see, you look at a patient, they come through the door, God already speaks to you, they need this. And it's effortlessly, you just hear and obey. That's what God is after. He's after us lining up so that your vision lines up with his vision. Amen? So very important. I remember Andy and I talking about Jerry Savelle and Kenneth Copeland coming to minister here at Word Life. So I have trouble. It's a struggle for me to not believe that Kenneth Copeland is coming to minister at Word Life. Because Jerry Savelle came, it takes extreme effort for me to unbelieve that. And it ain't going to take 20 years. It will manifest. Here's the thing. Please, this should be in your notes. The possibilities will conform to the visionary. It will. The possibilities will conform to the visionary. Here's the question. Are you a visionary? Are you a visionary? Be a visionary. What are you seeing when you close your eyes? We have to see beyond this address at Word Life. We have to get to the point where we're seeing beyond this. So very true. We just have to get to the point where we refuse to limit God. What a powerful confession. Say that out loud. I refuse to limit God. I'm going to give you a chance to get with me. Are you ready? I refuse to limit God. That has to be our confession. That has to be our stance. Whatever, however big you want it to be, Ron, however you see it, that's what you're going to walk in. Absolutely. That's what, if you see it, the two of you will absolutely walk in and we'll be there to celebrate. Absolutely. You have to get to that place. Trust God. Here's the thing. Trust God with your future. Amen. Trust God with the next steps. I guarantee you he's thinking bigger than you are. Guarantee you he's thinking bigger than we are. Trust God with your future. And whatever he says to do, do it. It doesn't matter how crazy it looks, seems, or feels. In fact, the crazier it looks, seems, or feels, the more like God it is. Because if you can accomplish it on your own, that ain't God. If you can accomplish it on your own, those of you who are watching online, if you don't need God, that ain't from God. Everything we're called to do requires God's help to do it. True or not true? Absolutely true. And family, if we're not intentional in seeing what God sees for our lives, we'll allow the enemy to slip on secular shades and we'll miss it. Be intentional in seeing his vision for our lives. Whatever you're seeing is shaping your future. Your expectation is a demonstration of your vision. Your expectation is a demonstration of your vision. What are you expecting? Are you expecting blessings or poverty? Are you expecting health or sickness? Are you expecting favor or are you settling with a victim mentality? Are you expecting opportunities or dead ends? That's a demonstration of your vision. It's so important that we establish hope in our hearts. Establish, settle it forever, that you're going to have hope in your hearts. I love the statement, you can't trust any conclusion that doesn't include hope. That is so profound. That is something that you can keep with you forever. If the conclusion doesn't include hope, that's not from God. Because we serve a God of hope. Application. You guys have your notes? Number one says what? Keep expecting God's goodness. You attach your life and your expectation to God's goodness. Line your vision up with God's vision. That's something that you have to do. You have to choose to do that. Number two says what? Think on good things. You have the ability to think on good things, even when bad things are going through your mind. You have the ability. Do you know what's so powerful about our abilities? You can think something and say something on top of it, and your head has to stop and hear what your mouth is saying. If you are ever under attack and you're thinking thoughts, all you have to do is say something, and your mind is going to stop and hear what your mouth is saying. You are always in control of that. The proof text of that is found in Philippians 4. Number three says what? Let joy into your life. It's okay to smile. It's okay to laugh. It's okay to let joy into your life. My mom said a long time ago, she said, I forget how long ago it was, but it's almost like my mom gets younger every year. I remember, because she went through a lot of stuff. She got, Oh, she got some. I don't want to say she got. They might be watching. She got some great kids. let me say it like this. She had plenty of opportunity to believe God with us. But I remember her making a decision. She made a vow. She said, "I am not gonna let you kids worry me to death." And ever since she said that, it's like she get younger every year. I'm telling you, she made the decision, and it was such a profound example for me. I'm like, because you can control what you can control. You got to believe God for the rest. Amen? It's so important. Let joy into your life. Number four says what? Don't give in to anxiety. Dear God, talking about an epidemic, you know, the amount of people who have surrendered to anxiety and have bowed down to anxiety, that is not of God. Don't give in to anxiety. The Philippians 4 is a proof text for that one as well. Number 5 says what? Amen. How do you know if you're really trusting God? Are you thanking Him for the answer? What a great example. Trust God enough to thank Him for the final outcome. If you're believing God for a house, a car, a mate, begin to thank God right now. Believe and trust God enough to demonstrate your faith by thanking Him right now. Number 6 says what? Be transformed. Don't continue talking about it. Be about it. Be transformed. Be the Word. You choose. You see, transformation comes from you and I surrendering our beliefs and our opinions. We're transformed when we say, "Lord, I'm going to do it your way. Not my will, but your will be done." That's when we're transformed. We're transformed when we stop, when we give up self-life on purpose. We choose Him over us. That's when we'll be transformed. Let your thinking be full of hope. You may not understand what's going on, but you know God is going to make it good when it's all said and done. You know, I said before, someone who is full of faith that doesn't have hope is dangerous. We have to have hope. If you don't know, if you don't understand, it's okay to understand. But what hope does, hope says, "I don't know what's going on, but I know God's got me. I don't understand this at all, but I know God has my back." That's what hope does. Hope makes you feel like, you know, it's going to work out. It's going to be okay. We need to allow our thinking to be full of hope. Last but not least, number 7 says what? See what God sees. And that's our foundation text, Jeremiah 29:11. See what God sees. God sees peace, hope, and a promised future for you and I. That's what He sees. Let's pray and dismiss. Those of you who are watching online, let us know how we can pray for you and agree with you. Let us know what we can be doing to minister to you more effectively. We don't take it for granted that you tune in. We are so grateful for the partners and the friends that we have all over. We count it an absolute honor to stand before you and minister the truth of the Word of God. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your holy written word. Father, thank you for grace deposits and truth impartation. Thank you for yet another opportunity to come together and see you do what only that you could do. We thank you, Father, for your Spirit. We thank you for hearing and answering our prayers. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters who are here and those who are watching online. Show them their true identity, your purpose for creating them and calling them. Father, I know that everyone was created by you, fashioned for a specific purpose. And I believe that every gift and talent is for that purpose. We want to live in you. Reveal Jesus as he is to each and every one of us. We pray to align ourselves with you now, that our vision becomes your vision. We boldly declare your will and your way. I come against anything and everything that is hindering us now. Reveal your plan and release the power to fulfill it. Father, we commit ourselves now. Let's stand to our feet and raise our hands. Say this with me. Say, Father, I commit myself to make my life count for your purpose. Regardless of my past, I choose to forget those things that are behind me. And I promise to pursue and press toward a hopeful future. Your plan and your purpose for my life. Father, you are the source. You are my guide. Give me direction. In the name of Jesus, I recommit my life to you. I will not limit you ever again. In Jesus' name, amen.